Hello everyone, Ty and Charlene Bollinger here.
Hi.
And we are located not in the studio where we usually film the Global Health News, but tell them where we are, honey.
We are at the Total Health Show in Canada, Toronto, Canada.
Yeah, so what we thought would be interesting for this episode of the Global Health News is just to do a lot of live interviews with some of the superstars that are here, the health superstars that are here at Total Health Canada. So that's what we did.
Yeah.
And so we hope that you enjoy this episode of the Global Health News. We're going to have a lot of several different interviews with not only the medical experts, but I think we might even have some cancer survivors in here. We'll see. But we hope you enjoy it, and we'll see you at the end of the show, right?
Yes, yes. It's going to be good. I think you're going to enjoy it. We got a lot of good interviews. I got to interview Robert Scott Bell. He shared some good stuff.
And yeah. RSB, are you back there?
Yes, sir.
Stick your head in here, you hoser. We can say hoser
because
we're in
Canada.
We
have to say that because we're in Canada.
So who's hosing around here?
Yeah, Robert Scott Bell. Mm-hmm. So
hey, I'm between two loves right now.
Yeah, so Charlene has an interview with Robert. We're going to interview him in this episode.
He's smart.
He's pretty smart. Way smarter than me.
So. We're doing an interview?
We did.
We did an interview?
Yeah.
We did do an interview.
Was that me or an imposter?
So you'll see it soon.
That was really you.
we're having fun, folks. Anytime you can get together with these guys, you can have a good time.
Yeah, so enjoy the episode. We'll see you at the end of the show. As you know, at Toronto, Total Health Canada here. Is that what it's called? Total Health Canada?
Total Health Canada.
Total Health Canada.
In Canada, Toronto, Canada.
In Toronto, Canada. And we got pharmacist Ben Fuchs here.
Wow.
Thank you for joining us,
man. It's an honor. Pleasure.
Yeah,
I'm a big fan of your work.
Well, we're
big
fans of you. So I've been following personally, and Charlene has too, with pharmacist Ben for years.
Yeah, he's really great.
And so this is as much of a thrill for us as it is for Ben to get a chance to meet with us, because we don't get a chance to see each other very often.
No.
I think the last time I saw you was maybe
year.
A year ago.
October.
Here.
Were you here October?
We were here last April.
Okay, so last April.
So it's been a year. And before that, I think it was like 4 years before I saw you in Chicago.
Yeah, but I see your stuff, and I read your stuff, and I see your smiley face everywhere on video.
He's got a nice smiley face.
Yeah, he's got a beautiful face, and you're doing amazing, really godly work, divine work.
Thank you so much. Well, we appreciate that. And, you know, we were on a panel yesterday, a round table, and we said, hey, we got to get you on a quick interview. So Ben's a pharmacist, but talk about the different types of pharmacies that you recommend.
Yeah, you know, we think of pharmacy, we think of it as drugs, right? Whenever anybody thinks of a pharmacist, or they think of Walgreens, or, you know, your typical pharmacy, they think of the kind of things that you get from a drugstore with pills and capsules and various solutions. But pharmacy to me is really the art of using chemistry to work with the body. And we do this all the time. Food is pharmacy in this way. Every time we eat a food, there's a medicinal impact that food has on the body, for better or for worse. Yeah. There's a biochemical impact to a lot of different things that aren't necessarily little red pills or little brown pills or bottles. So when I think of pharmacy, I think of leveraging all of those things, whether they be herbs, whether they be nutritional supplements, whether they be foods, or as I was saying on the panel yesterday, your thoughts or your feelings or your connection to spiritual or divine factors. Those are all a type of pharmacy in the sense that they're outside things that you can use to interact with the body, to manipulate the chemistry of the body, to hack into the chemistry of the body. So when I think of pharmacy, I'm a nutritionist. To me, from a physical perspective, that's the most fundamental way that we can interact with the body, because nutrition is us. When you take a drug, the body has to look at that drug, the cells of the body look at that drug, and they assess, well, is that a friend or a foe? And what do you think it sees when it sees a drug? It sees foe, because the only friends to a cell are what we call the mighty 90 essential nutrients. Everything else is a foe. So that foe, whether it may have an effect on the cells or in a specific condition, but it's still a foe. So it has to be detoxified, it has to be eliminated, and it somehow has to be made safe, and it has to be made clean. It has to be, the body has to be made clean from it or protected from it. Not so with a vitamin, not so with a mineral, not so with an amino acid, not so with an essential fatty acid. These are things that are not seen as foe, they're seen as friends, because they are literally components of the body, but yet you can use them medicinally.
Yeah.
You can use them therapeutically.
Wow.
And what's even better is our diseases, in many cases, are the end result of deficiencies in these substances. So what you're essentially doing is replacing things that should have been there in the first place. Now, which makes more sense? Using something that has to be detoxified, seen as an enemy, that has to be purified, or something that's a literal component of your body that is, in essence, responsible in many cases, for the disease state in the first place.
Wow. Right? Are you listening? He breaks it down, and I totally get it.
It's just common sense, really. It's not difficult to understand. We're made up of 90 essential nutrients, and they're supposed to be coming from the foods. They're not in the foods, so we suffer the consequences. Now, I don't like being the kind of nutritionist that says, just take this vitamin, you know, and you'll be fine, because there's healing is multidimensional. I call it SMEP, spiritual, mental, emotional, physical. And from being in, I'm sure you recognize this, from being in the healing business and seeing people over and over and over again, I've yet to see a chronic degenerative crisis that doesn't have some kind of spiritual connection or lack of spiritual connection behind it. So we're one. They're not in an airy-fairy, hippy-dippy kind of way, but in a quantum way. You know, every time you breathe out, I breathe in. There are waves coming off of my heart and your heart and all of our hearts right now. They're creating a heart field everywhere. I mean, we are linked energetically at the most fundamental sense in a quantum scientific way, not in an airy-fairy way, but yet, because we see the world through our eyes, it looks like everything's out there and I'm in here. And this happens at birth. In fact, the word sin means separation. It's Latin for separation. So original sin is this sense of separation that occurs to us as we leave the birth canal and we come into the world. We immediately see the world separated. Mm. And we have, you know, there's thousands of different fears, right? There's arachnophobia and claustrophobia and fear of crowds and fear of public speaking. No, the number one fear is the fear of public speaking.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Which means I got to go speak here shortly.
That's a big fear. Don't be scared.
What's he going to do?
Do you know more people are afraid of public speaking than afraid of death? It's like they're more afraid to give the eulogy than to be in the casket, I heard
really?
Somebody once say. Yes. It's like it's the ultimate fear.
Yeah.
So there's all these fears, but there's really only one fear. And these are all derivatives or extensions of this fundamental fear. And the fundamental fear is the fear of the unknown. And so that's when we're afraid of death or public speaking or crowds or whatever it is. It's because we don't know what's going to happen. So the unknown comes from this sense that we're not connected, that there's me here and there's out there and I don't know what's happening. So at the most fundamental sense, we feel disconnected from our environment. We feel disconnected from the world. We feel disconnected from divinity. We feel disconnected from God. And this leads to a fear response, which activates what's called the sympathetic nervous system, which I'm sure you know about. And that shuts down immunity. It shuts down healing. It shuts down growth and repair. So all of the things that we suffer from in a way of chronic degenerative disease can be backtracked to this primal fear. From there, this fear of the unknown, this the sense of disconnection. From there, you start thinking crappy thoughts, fearful thoughts, angry thoughts, anything that could be associated with the fear response, and that creates hormones. Every time you think a thought, a hormone is created. Likewise, feelings, they're linked. Hormones make the body. So we have bodies of fear. We have bodies of separation. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to be the kind of guy that says, just take this vitamin or just take this nutrient or just take this mineral and you'll be fine. Because the fact of the matter is you have to address the spiritual dimension, the mental dimension, and the emotional dimension if you're going to heal. Once that's met, or once you're at least starting to work with that, there's incredible things that you can do with nutrition. And I've seen them with my own eyes. I'm sure you have as well. I've seen skin issues heal. I've seen digestive issues heal. I've seen immune issues heal, autoimmune problems heal. I've seen almost every disease you can name, I've seen heal when people start to employ these strategies, spiritual, mental, emotional, as well as physical. And so while the physical dimension is important and you can do a lot of things with it, you have to address the multi-dimensions that are involved with the healing process.
So it's the whole person. It's the body, spirit, the mind. It's not just take this pill.
Not just take this pill. So when I say I'm a pharmacist, I like to think I'm a nutritional pharmacist. I like to think I'm an emotional pharmacist. I like to think I'm a mental pharmacist. And if I may be so bold, I like to think I'm a spiritual pharmacist as well, that I use all of those dimensions.
I think you're obviously
a long-winded answer.
I think you're obviously a public speaking pharmacist too.
I'm
a good job of communicating.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, and helping us to understand that there's more to it than just a pill.
Yes.
This is the kind of pharmacist I want to have.
That's great. And you're the kind of therapist patient I want to have. I mean, I don't even
awesome.
Want to. Have, I don't want you to be a patient.
Ideal patient.
No,
yeah.
I don't want you to be a patient, but.
Yeah, but we need.
You're the kind of friend I want to have.
Yes, is our friend.
So real quick, 2 minutes left. I want you to go into this. Was really fascinating. So yesterday on the round table, you started talking about how incredible eggs are.
Oh, yeah.
And it really was informative. I want you to share.
Oh, my goodness.
The whole presentation was just so fantastic.
Talk about eggs, though, and the way that they're cells.
Yeah, they're cells.
Yeah.
We call an egg, we say it's an egg.
I'm going to start, just real quick, I just want to say, because of what he shared yesterday, we do green drinks with our bone broth. I'm going to add eggs. And take it.
Add eggs. So the body's made up of cells, right? We see each other, we see, like, you know, our faces and our arms and our legs, but we don't really see that there's 100 trillion. That's a ridiculous number, you guys. I mean, we live in this number inflation world where you have the, you know, the budget deficit is like $16 trillion, or ridiculous numbers, but a trillion is like this crazy number. It's just, you can't even comprehend it. And we have 100 trillion little conscious entities that form us up. They're called our cells. And when we're sick, our cells are sick. It's not our gallbladder, it's not our heart, it's not our skin, it's our skin cells, it's our gallbladder cells. And nobody has lung cancer, they have lung cell cancer. And nobody has heart disease, they have heart cell disease. So it all comes down to this living entity called the cell.
Squamous cell carcinoma, basal cell carcinoma.
Oh, it's all the cell. It's all cell. So sickness is cell sickness always. But here's the good news. A cell doesn't need a lot. It's a divine entity that's really on automatic. But it does need to have some kind of interaction with the environment that will sustain it. And that interaction with the environment is symbolized by oxygen, food, and a clean place for it to do its work. And that's all a cell needs. And every disease is caused by a cell not being fed, a cell not being breathed, and a cell not having a clean place to do its work. Suffocation, starvation, and toxification are the only things that go wrong with a cell. Now, the toxification element has to be addressed if we're sick, and that means keeping the body in a pristine state. Sugar is a major toxin after a small amount is put into the system, and we shouldn't underestimate the importance of sugar as a toxin. But there's also drugs that are toxic. There's also, you know, pollutants in the air, there's mercury. I mean, we pretty much toxed out our environment pretty good, right? Yeah. So we're swimming in a sea of toxicity. Oxygen is also very important. I mean, you're talking about cancer here. How do you turn a cell cancer? Dr. Otto Warburg, I know you know this, right? You rob it of oxygen. It's going to become cancerous.
Yeah.
So oxygen is fundamental as well. So you got to make sure that you're oxygenating. And obviously breathing is, it seems obvious, but we don't breathe correctly, right? But also moving your body is oxygenating. You know, as the blood circulates, it's delivering oxygen. So addressing the oxygen component is important as well. But then there's the food component. A cell eats. A cell has a menu that it eats from, but it doesn't eat like we. It doesn't eat hamburgers. It doesn't eat celery or whatever. It doesn't eat salad. It eats the mighty 90 essential nutrients. It eats vitamins. It eats minerals. It eats amino acids, and it eats essential fatty acids. What we call the mighty 90 essential nutrients. So giving your cells all of those nutrients are important. All of the nutrients, all those mighty 90 nutrients, are found in the cell. So eating cells is the most powerful nutrition there is. Now you can eat cells from yeast. Yeast are cells, so you get everything in yeast, and yeast are powerfully nutritional. You can get cells from spirulina and from grasses and from seaweed. These are wonderful ways to get cells. But there's a wonderful food that we all know about that is a pure cell, and we don't call it a cell, but it is a cell.
It's the incredible edible.
It's the incredible edible egg cell.
Wow.
It's a cell. So you're eating a cell which contains everything you need to make cells. It's the perfect food, and it's not a microscopic cell. It's a big cell. It's a macroscopic cell. So it's got lots of fat, and it's got lots of vitamins, and it's got lots of carotenes, and it's got lots of essential fats, and it's got hard-to-find nutrients. In short, it's got everything you need for yourself because it is a cell.
It's the perfect food.
It's nature's perfect food, raw, because when you cook it, you start to break things down, especially the fats and the proteins, and you lose and the enzymes, and you lose some nutritional value. So eating your eggs raw, eating your egg cells raw. So from now on, call it, or at least lightly cooked, poached, or soft boiled. So from now on, when you think of eggs, think of cells, and think of giving your cells everything you need, everything they need to sustain themselves and to grow and to live and to thrive.
That's great information.
So now you know, when you make your green shakes at home in smoothies, just add a couple of eggs raw, mix it up, it'll make it even thicker and tastier.
Creamier.
Yes, creamier. And I've had raw eggs in a shake before, and it really does amp up the delicious factor of it. So not only will it be more delicious, but so much more nutritious.
Yeah.
Thank you for breaking that down.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
Helping us to understand that.
And in the past, I thought that cells fed on celery. Get it? But now I know they feed on eggs. So great information, brother. Appreciate it, Pharmacist Ben.
Good to talk to you. Good to talk.
Yeah, hope y'all enjoyed that and learned from the interview from Pharmacist Ben.
Thanks, everyone.
All right.
All right.
Cool. Great awesome. Thanks.
Thank you.
Hi, everybody out there, and thank you once again for joining us for this very compelling interview that we're going to do with Joyce. Joyce has been a school teacher, and she shared with both Ty and me her story and observations about children and the transformation through the years of the damage that vaccines have done to these precious little lives, these little bodies, these little minds. And she was really encouraged to see the truth about vaccines, as we know many of you out there have been as well. So Joyce, tell our viewers to share your story about where you've been, what you've experienced, and the change that you've seen happen through the years.
So I've been a teacher for 30 years, and in the last 20 years I was teaching children that were delayed readers. They had to be in my room because they were delayed reading 2 years or more, and they tested out though as having normal intelligence or above. So I already had a select group, which puzzled me. And then the third month that I was teaching, the health nurse came and she got my grade fives and she vaccinated, you know, the five or six kids of grade five that I had, because it was a multi-age group class. And then Nathan, who had come to school that morning walking, I couldn't send him out for recess. And so I went running for the health nurse and she was in the hallways and I stopped her. I said, oh, you know, you just vaccinated this child in my class. Do you think you could come and see him? He's really not feeling very well. And she said, no. And I went in front of her and I stopped her and I asked questions. And eventually she got so upset at me that she marched off and she said, phone the parent, it was their choice. And I had never heard choice before, not ever. And I thought, well, that's bizarre.
Wow.
So then I thought, okay, well, who is the parent of this child? His mom was studying to be a nurse in Calgary and she wasn't even home. And so I thought, well, I guess that leaves me responsible. So I took care of him. And at noon, I sent him to his other room and he was reasonably walkable, but his learning never recuperated. He never really learned anything for the rest of that school year.
And that's
after the vaccine. So wow. It's hepatitis B.
Hepatitis B.
So then for the next 15 years, I was dealing with the hepatitis B vaccine. I have seen full body rashes, children being absent for 6 full weeks, coming back to school after 6 weeks of absence with full-blown asthma and Tourette's.
Wow.
I have seen kids say to me, Miss M, why is it I used to be able to spell long vowels and I can't anymore? And then they would say things like five boys crying in their desk, Miss M, I used to be able to concentrate and sit still and I can't anymore.
Oh.
It's like these kids were actually telling what was happening to them. And at that point, I did a lot of homework and discovered what you have discovered. So I'm really glad you went public, because I've been trying to go public and squashed and almost lost my job numerous times. So thank you for going public.
Well, thank you. Thank you for telling your story to us, coming and telling your story for our viewers to understand and hear. And, you know, I have a suspicion that you're not the only teacher that has observed this transformation in the children, because if you've been around teaching children for 30 years, yes. And remember, yes. Back in 1983, the vaccine schedule was 10 vaccines. In 1986 was when the vaccine companies were given immunity, so they no longer were
responsible
for the vaccine damage that they did. So that's when the vaccine schedule started really amping up, and today we have about 69 vaccines that we give to all these children, and so there's a lot more toxins entering their little systems.
They do them too early to children.
Right.
They really do them too early. And so one of the reasons why I quit teaching was because I really got tired of teaching fried children. Fried children. So there's a minimum now of 4 mildly autistic children in every elementary classroom.
Wow.
And then you need
a full-time teacher.
Growing
up, I don't remember seeing autistic children in school. I mean, I never met one.
And then you need a full-time teacher's assistant, and then you just can't teach. You just can't teach anymore. It's really sad.
Well, thank you for sharing your story.
Thanks.
And I just encourage you to continue to share with them. Not everybody will listen, but there are those that will. And that's why we made the truth about vaccines, so that we have an easy to understand format for you to listen, to learn, and to share with your friends, because we're all about safety and we're all about our children. So thank you so much. And thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.